commence primary ignition.
I'm just not the hero type, clearly.
What a piece of junk.
Enterprise, this is the captain.
I got a bad feeling about this.
It's all part of the plan.
Engage.
Welcome to Podcast 2 for 1. This is episode 50. Yes, 50, halfway to 100. My name is Donovan Thompson, and my co-host name is...
Daniel Wingfield.
And we are back again. Yes, again, episode 50, Daniel.
We got there. We got to 50.
We've been talking about it for a very long time. Since day one, actually. Like, man, I would just like to get to 50.
Less than a year, we got there.
Less than a year.
We've been making a shit ton of content for you.
We have.
Ungrateful motherfuckers.
Which brings me to so much content, no payment. At least you could do is go to our YouTube channel, hit that subscribe button.
Please.
That way you're up to all future content because we do more things than the podcast.
Even if you just don't use your YouTube like that, you have a YouTube account if you have a Gmail. Okay?
That's true.
So just use your Gmail, log into YouTube, and look up Podcast 2 for 1 and subscribe to us. Because even if you don't use YouTube like that, that's helpful for us. And we would really appreciate it.
We would show your love and support and do all those things we ask you to do.
Yes.
Before we get into the big Xbox news that just came out recently, Daniel, what you been watching? What you been playing?
What have I been doing? I've been playing. So last week, I know I talked to you guys a little bit about this when we went to see Tenet. The brand new game Crusader Kings 3 came out.
Oh, yeah.
So I know this is definitely a special sector of more of the PC market. It's on Mac, so I've been playing it on my Mac. And it's a 4X strategy game. That means it's like Civilization, basically. Civilization, Sid Meier's Civilization would have been like the first iteration of this genre. And so you're trying to win through different means. You can win through culture. You can win through diplomacy. You can win through military strength, or you can win through even like through religion. Like if you have, and basically different civilizations have different goals. And typically, like, you know, if you're playing Civilization 5 or 6, it'll be like, hey, here's the goals of the game. You can either win if you dominate everyone, you can win if everyone accepts your culture, or if you have a religious domination victory, blah, blah, blah. There's different ways to win. In Crusader Kings 3, and in all the Crusader Kings games, there is no set objective to win. There's a set amount of time, and it's all based on actual history. And that's really one of the cool things, is that's happening. So it starts, you can pick different times of history to start. You can start in like 866, I think it's that, or 803, and then 1066. And so, like, if you start in the 800s, what's about to immediately happen is the Vikings are about to start raiding England. And so it's about to become, like, the Viking raids. And so these things will actually happen, and you get to be basically any character in this world. If you want to be the King of England, be the King of England. If you want to be the Pope, you can be the Pope. Because at this time, the Pope was the head of the Roman Catholic Empire. The Pope was an emperor. And so, like, you can be any of these characters, or you can be, like, a vassal in, like, a tiny part of the kingdom. You don't have to be the king. You can be like one of his subjects, right? And so the game is to basically do whatever you want. So I started off in Scotland, which is kind of tutorial island. They start you there on the tutorial. It's one of the easier places to start. And I've dominated the entire island of Scotland. I was a duke. So I had a duchy, which meant like I had several counties under my control. And I eventually systematically took over all of Ireland through wars and through subterfuge and stuff like that. I've now taken all over Scotland and Finland. I had Sweden, but they revolted, and I decided to not fuck with them because I didn't have enough troops. So basically, it's this game of just getting to fuck with history. And the fun parts are these narrative moments that come out. Like, you know, I seduced the Queen of Denmark so that she would help me murder her husband, which allowed one of my bloodline to be the next heir for Denmark. Like, basically, I've just been like fucking with all these kingdoms. Like, I think I might try to kill the Pope soon just to see how, you know, what might happen to the world when these things happen. Like, and then, like, there's this whole side of the game that's basically Littlefinger from Game of Thrones, or like Master of Secrets, where you can send your spy master to go fuck with these people or to go find secrets in this kingdom. They're kind of like, hey, this guy's sleeping with this lady. These people are doing this. This person tried to get this person murdered. And then you can use these things as like blackmail to make people do what you want.
Interesting.
And like all these interesting like stories that come up are like, and your character, every time you die, your heir becomes the person you're playing next.
Oh, wow.
So your person you're playing will die multiple times, and you get to play your next heir in line. And what's fun is, like, I had one character, and I conquered, you know, Finland and Sweden and Scotland and Ireland, and everyone hated him because I was just ruthless. I tortured people, and, like, they gave me the name the Flayer. That was like he was like the King Something the Flayer, because I kept torturing people, and like vassals would get mad at me. They're like, "We want independence. We want less tax." I just murder them. You know, like, I just do shit like that.
Maybe you shouldn't be in
But
power.
Then my son, everyone loved him. So when my king that was this bastard died, my son inherited all the land and everyone loved him. So it was like, hey, this is actually a great plan. The father decided to be, you know, the bad guy so his son could enjoy like this giant kingdom, and no one cares because they love him. They think he's a great guy.
If only that's how it worked in real life.
I know. Actually, if only murder and subterfuge and secrets and, you know, blackmail was how the world worked. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, so fun game. It has a market to it. It's definitely not your mainstream gamer market, but man, had a lot of fun with that.
Yeah,
so that's really been a lot of what I've been playing. The other thing I've been watching really is I've kind of been just in like comfort food, TV watching.
Sure.
So I've gone back to Brooklyn Nine-Nine, just because that's like one of the only, Michael Schur shows that I haven't repeatedly watched. Like I've watched The Office multiple times. I've watched Parks and Rec multiple times. But Brooklyn Nine-Nine, I've only watched through once. And rewatching it, I've been enjoying it again. Like, it's just a very funny show. I love Andy Samberg. I've realized that, like, Andy Samberg is, like, one of the biggest influences on me and, like, my comedy and even, like, my comedy writing style and stuff. Just growing up with him on SNL, growing up with Hot Rod and these, like, you know, kind of his primetime movies in some ways. I really identify with him as a writer, as a comic, and all these kinds of things. So, yeah. And the one thing I noticed was, I'm guessing whoever's casting that show loves The West Wing, because Jake and Amy's parents are both giant West Wing stars. Mm. It's Jake's dad is obviously Josh Lyman.
Then
Amy's dad is, you probably haven't gotten there yet, he's basically the guy that Josh Lyman takes over the next election in the West Wing.
Yeah.
The successor, the Obama stand-in, basically.
I haven't got that far yet.
It's Bail Organa Solo.
Okay, gotcha.
And he's her dad. And he's huge in the West. I mean, he's like the entire last two seasons, he's probably one of the main characters in the West Wing. Okay. So it's like, It's funny with that kind of stuff. I don't know. But, man, Brooklyn Nine-Nine is such a great show. Freaking funny. All the movie references.
I watched the first four, and I really loved them.
The seasons?
Yeah.
I'm sure you watched the Die Hard episode where he's in the...
The first...
Yippee-ki-yak, other buckets.
I love it, man.
Such a great show. And I love Joe Latrugio.
Oh, he's great.
He's fantastic. Yeah, and then I love the captain, too.
Oh, he's
great. His dry, like, especially once they get to, like, season 3 and 4, when they've established his character really firmly as this, like, shows absolutely no emotions, like, no one can tell when he's smiling, and then they start doing things, like, that are slightly out of character for him, and it's just, like, the best. Mm-hmm. It's just, like, so, oh, man. It's just a fun show. Makes you feel good inside.
I need to pick it back up. I need to watch it.
Yeah. What have you been watching? What have you been playing?
I've been watching, I started the first two episodes of Lovecraft Country.
Oh, how do you like that?
It's very interesting. The first episode is really like hammering in like social issues and that kind of stuff in the 60s with African-American people. And it ends up being this crazy horror sci-fi thing at the very last 10 minutes.
I was assuming, I mean, that's very what Lovecraft is known for.
It was crazy. And then like I stopped watching it just because I was just like, what the fuck? But I want to keep watching. I just hadn't got to it yet. But I watched that. Me and Katie are still watching Mad Men. I watched a movie called Bigger, which is like the story of Joe Weider, of who made Muscle and Fitness Magazine. I watched that in the spare time.
It's a
movie on HBO Max. It didn't come on HBO Max, but it just got dropped on HBO Max. It's what I've been looking for like a year or two.
It's not a documentary?
No, it's like Tyler Hutchin, the guy who played Superman in the new CW universe. He's Joe Weider. Of course, me and Katie watching The Boys. I'm caught up, I think.
Yeah, that's true. I've watched the first three episodes.
So I've only watched the first two.
So mad. I was like, I was just like, all right. excuse me. I'm ready to get back in The Boys. I'm like, you know, I'm ready for it. And I started watching. I'm like, hey, it's pretty good. I'm enjoying it. Keep going. Keep going. End of episode three. Let's go. Episode three kind of has a nice kind of moment to end on. And kind of like, ooh, hell yeah. Let's go to the next one. And it was like, would you like to watch any of these other shitty Amazon shows now?
Yeah.
And I was like, no. No, I want to watch episode four of The Boys. That's why I'm here. I don't really use you unless I'm watching The Boys.
I was disappointed, but I think it's a smart thing to do because it keeps you going for a couple more weeks. So, I mean, it was intelligent. I didn't like it, but it was intelligent.
It makes sense for marketing. As a consumer, it's like, this is one of the reasons I stream, guys.
Yeah.
This is one of the reasons I do this.
It creates that water cooler talk, though, like Mandalorian did a year ago.
No one's at their water coolers. Everyone's working from home.
You know what I mean, though? Like, it was still like,
I get it. I understand why they do it. And who knows? If I was making a show, I might want to do it, too.
Yeah.
But I still, as a consumer that just wanted to binge that night and had it in my mind that I can just keep pressing play until I get too tired, it was like, God damn it, I gotta find something else to watch. And I was planning on watching this.
Anyway, I also started watching about nothing. I just started last night and I watched the whole first season of Barry. It's also on HBO Max.
I hear great things about that.
Yeah, they're all 30 minute episodes. And every season so far, there's only been two seasons. It's 8 episodes a piece. Yeah. So it's easy. It's like three, 4 hours. And I watched them all in that first season. It was just so fun. And and the acting's great. I mean, it won an Emmy, I think, for.
I think it did. Yeah. Speaking of that, the who's the main actor in that?
He's there.
Yeah, that guy. I did watch something else over the weekend. Seth Rogen tweeted out, he's like, hey, Pineapple Express is on Netflix, so you should watch it like it was always meant to be watched while smoking weed on the couch.
Oh, wow.
And so I was like, okay, Seth Rogen, you convinced me. And so I smoked weed and I watched Pineapple Express. And it was great. That movie. You've seen it, right?
Yeah. Was it better on weed?
I don't know. It was honestly, it was better because I hadn't seen it in probably 12 years or since it released, basically.
It's Bill Hader.
Bill Hader, yeah. But he's in the beginning of that movie. It's black and white and it's in the military base and they're like testing out like these illegal substances.
Oh, wow.
He's like, how do you feel? Like he smokes blood. He's like, I think you guys are a bunch of tight ass motherfuckers. Like, basically just being like anti, and the military's like, he rings up with me and goes, illegal! And it's supposed to be like this bad story illegalized.
That's hilarious.
It's so good. And it's like young, fat Seth Rogen.
Yeah.
Of course, James Franco is the best pot dealer casting ever. Because you feel like he actually probably would have been a pot dealer if he hadn't gotten into acting.
Or maybe
he was both. But man, what a fun, stupid pothead film.
It says here that it won or is nominated for...
We're talking about Barry?
Yeah, Barry. 30 Primetime Emmy Awards.
Damn.
That's a lot for two seasons. Yeah, or for multiple things. And then Bill Hader, he's won twice for Outstanding Lead Actor in a Comedy Series. And then Winkler won.
Yeah, he's in that too, right? Winkler's pretty big in that.
Dude, he's awesome.
He's great.
I just love him in general.
I do too.
He's great. Oh man,
he's the best. Someone reshared a link from a moment when in the Arrested Development show, he does the Fonz mirror thing at one point. Like they're in the mirror meeting.
Yeah.
And he's like, let me check my hair. And he just does the moment. And it's like, I forgot.
He's so mean. Yeah, I love him.
He's so wholesome.
He is.
I feel like he's just a nice guy.
He's looked kind of the same for the last like 15 years.
But he plays, what's so funny is contrasting like the Fonz and that stereotype versus he plays these kind of weaselly, like kind of like annoying, but like kind of like, you know, like he's different. He's not like this masculine cast type
But it's anyway. It's great.
And good times.
What I've been playing real quick.
Yeah.
I finally on Gears 5. I've been playing a lot of multiplayer on Gears 5. I don't play multiplayer ever, but I got all the way and re-upped. So I got level 100 and then re-upped.
Level one. There was a term for that when COD did it first. It was called prestige.
Yeah, I prestiged. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so
that was like COD 4 did that first, I think.
Yeah. So I did that. I beat the story mode and whipped like tons of people's asses on Power Rangers Battle for the Grid after we played it.
Oh, yeah. Because I didn't play that more. It was a pretty fun game.
I beat the story mode and all that kind of stuff and then I deleted it. So I got really good at the end and I was winning online and everything. People were like rage quitting before we get in our matches.
That's always the best.
Yeah.
It's always the best feeling when you know you caused someone so much anguish that they turned the box.
And
off.
I bought Infinite Warfare and to play that because I want to get ready for Black Ops Cold War.
All right. Yeah.
And so I'm getting excited. And of course, I just restarted Alan Wake.
Oh, right.
Because I want to play Control. And so, and like playing it, I'm like, man, like Remedy.
good game making company.
Yeah, it was like, man, they actually, this is a pretty good game. Like just the graphics, everything else for a 360 game, it's on Game Pass.
Yeah.
So it makes me excited for Control. And of course, we played Battletoads. I played the original Battletoads after we played
our version on what?
Game Pass. And I beat it.
The original's on game? Like the NES?
It's part of Rare Replay. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So I beat that in an hour, the original. You have an infinite life. There's no way to beat it without that.
No.
And anyway, that's what I did. That's what I've been playing lately.
Did it make you appreciate the new one any more, any less?
It made me there's some funny, like it's some impressive stuff in the old one. And I really want to play the new ones more. And if you don't know, on our YouTube channel, we have a 2-for-1 plays now.
Yes.
And we went and played the first hour of Battletoads.
I nailed the bike section. Yeah, I'm basically the bike god.
He did amazing.
Yeah.
And hopefully we'll have more stuff in the future. Maybe once a week we'll stream on our Twitch. That's Twitch.com/2for1studios, I believe, is our Twitch.
We'll push it more when we have more things to share.
Exactly. So hopefully that's something in the pipeline on the future.
Yep.
But we're talking about games, so let's get into the big news of the last week or so.
What a week, man.
Xbox Series S has been officially revealed. It is $299, November 10th, pre-order September 22nd. And Xbox Series X is $499. Again, the same pre-order date, same release date, November 10th. So
you can get parent plans. For the Xbox Series S, you can pay $25 a month.
Yes.
And that comes with, and that's a 24 month payment plan that comes with 24 months of Game Pass Ultimate, which now includes EA Play or EA Access, which I think is now called EA Play, which is stupid.
Yeah.
Which comes with like their entire back catalog. That's all the Mass Effect games.
I know.
Through EA Access are now available through
Game Pass. Which I wonder if they that remaster, will that be on Game Pass then?
Not on day one. So EA Access doesn't do that.
Typically, how does that work, by the way?
With EA Access, a new EA games, you usually get a 10-hour trial on, which is a pretty good trial. On some games, you could beat the main story, potentially. And then you get a discount. I think it's like 15 to 20% off when you do buy it if you have EA Access.
How much
I had it for like a year one time.
How much is EA Access?
In the past, I think it was like $5 or $10 a month.
Jesus.
Was it originally what it was?
I guess they have a lot of franchises.
I mean, you get every sports game they ever made as a backlog. You get, all the Battlefield games are on there.
So they saw the writing on the wall
games, all of the Mass Effect games. I mean, like.
I guess it's Madden, 2K12.
2K. All the Maddens, all the NBAs, all the FIFAs.
Is 2K part of that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, 2K is NBA. Yeah.
So 24, let's just do the math here. $24, 24 months. So your console will be $299 for the Series S.
Yeah.
If you did the 2-year payment plan for 24 months with Game Pass, got a new console, it's $576.
Which, if you bought a Series S and then paid monthly for Xbox for Game Pass Ultimate,
which is $15 a month times 24 months,
right? You would be paying
plus
money in the end. So basically, you actually save 10, or I think it's like 20 to 40. You actually pay $20 or $40 less through the payment plan were you to buy all the things that are in it at full price.
Yeah,
of course, you can always get discounts very often for Game Pass Ultimate. A lot of times you can be like, oh, here's a year for $60, $80 instead of $120 or whatever it is.
Right.
So there's always usually ways to shortcut those costs in the end. But especially for someone that can't afford $300 out of pocket.
Yeah.
And
I can assume that you can say, I want to put $100 down right now. And then pay.
I don't know. I think it's more like the iPhone plan.
Really?
I think that it's what it is. That you're basically opening up a credit line through them for however much the final amount is and paying off that for 2 years. And then you keep, obviously at the end of it, you keep it all. It's yours to own.
Right.
So it is a payment post. It's not a rent. You're buying it. And then of course the same options are available for the X at $35 a month, which again, it's the same math. If you add it all up, it's actually $20-$40 cheaper to finance it. $35 a month than it is to buy it all outright at sticker price. Right. Man, Xbox just laid the ground rules for entry level into this next generation. I mean,
there is some small copy heats here and there, but I think overall the narrative is, hey, we're back in the race again.
The only people I see complaining about it are people that are just Sony fanboys.
I don't think there's any complaining. I think if you want to talk about what consoles do you still want to get? I still think that's up to debate.
I mean, I think...
But I think that Xbox, at least, where they kind of faltered with Halo Infinite, where they kind of lost that, and they kind of like, well, why do we get this now? At least now we
have. The answer's simple. No, and here's the thing. Multiple things to factor in. The best-selling PlayStation 4 game of all time was Uncharted 4. And it had a less than 20% attachment rate.
Right.
Now, that isn't a, that you can't just extrapolate that to say, oh, less than 20% of PlayStation 4 owners care about exclusives, because there's a lot of people that wouldn't play Uncharted 4 that would play Bloodborne or Last of Us 2 or the Japanese game that just came out.
Sekiro?
No, it's not Sekiro. That's FromSoft. It's the... Fuck.
Oh, Ghost of Tsushima.
Ghost of Tsushima. Like, yeah. Right. It's not that all of those 20% of play all those games. It's probably closer to like, what, 30% of PS4 gamers are there for exclusives. They bought the PS4 for exclusives. Sure. The other percent of them probably don't care. The other percent play FIFA, Fortnite, Madden, and Call of Duty. That's it. That's what they play. And so, and all of those games, by the way, at least 100% Fortnite, 100% COD are crossplay, not even a question going into this next gen. They've already announced that. Fortnite's always crossplay.
Crossplay between consoles?
Yes.
You like can play, companies?
Yes.
Okay.
Like I can play on Xbox, you can play on PlayStation, we can play together in COD.
Wow, okay.
So any parent walking into the store this winter and you're saying, my son wants a new console. The new consoles are out. He wants to play these games with his friends. Unless you're saying, oh yeah, my son really wants to play Spider-Man. My son really wants to play, you know, Ratchet and Clank. They're going to pick an Xbox. And again, that's the majority of console gamers care about four or five games. And they're the same games that are on every console. It's the big third party, big
Assassin's
it's the
Creed.
Games that sell more than, I mean, if you look at the numbers, Madden and FIFA and COD sell more than any other game every year. Every year. And it's a given because we don't really care about those numbers because they are givens, because we know, of course, Madden and FIFA and COD sell like all the time. But they always are in the top five, top 10 every year, because that's right. The majority of the games that people are caring about. I feel like Xbox killed it, not only with the marketing message. I mean, they had a leak and they turned it into multi-level.
The tweets were great.
There was a tweet of someone that was breaking down how Microsoft took a leak and turned it into a week long of marketing beats.
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, even like, you've got to go check out Microsoft's, like the night of the leak, it leaks at like 11 PM.
Yeah.
And it's like, what the fuck this is. And it's like big leak. We saw a picture of the Xbox One S.
Yeah.
And had the price at like 11 PM, which is like even later East Coast. It may have even been later after that, but like 2 hours later, this is the middle of the fucking night, Xbox tweets the monkey nervous meme. And it's just, that's the only thing. No copy. Just that. And it's just like brilliant.
Because that was brilliant.
It turned into like, it had like 200,000 retweets.
Yeah.
And like, it was a viral marketing moment out of a meme in the middle of the fucking night.
Yeah. No, I love
it. And it's that. And then the next day they're like, all right, fine. Here it is. And they just launch it with a tweet and they're just putting it out there and it becomes the entire day's story.
Yeah.
And then the next day they're like, all right, fine. Here's the price of the X2. And they're both released on this day. And it becomes that day. I mean, this week has been all about Xbox.
Yeah.
It's all anyone's talking about.
Yeah. And in a good way, too.
Yeah. And again, it wasn't, none of this was supposed to happen until next week. Phil Spencer confirmed in a tweet the announcement was planned for next week.
Really?
Okay. I was assuming they were going to be like, all right, and in 1 week you can pre-order. It was probably going to be like literally 1 week to the day before pre-orders go live, I assume. But yeah, so like it's just, for one, it's just brilliant to see them pull off that kind of something that can just train wreck a marketing plan.
Yeah.
And they turn it into a brilliant moment. But also their message is just, there's nothing, they nailed it.
They did.
You can play next gen for $300.
Yeah. I you know, there's of course one thing we talk about, the specs are a little different between the S and the X.
This is totally what I expected, right? It's got like 4 terabytes versus 12, which is still, it still has more power. It's still like 4 times more powerful than the One S, not the X, the One S. But the big thing, though, and a lot of people have been talking about this, the CPU
is the same. Yeah.
It has a faster CPU than the PS5.
Yeah.
It's because here's the thing. PS5 has a variable CPU, right. Variable GPU. That means they fluctuate with how fast they are depending on the needs of the game. The problem is a lot of games need them both fast at the same time, especially your big blockbuster, your Ratchet and Clanks, your, you know, these games that are going to push the console. You need your GPU and your CPU to be able to be pushed to their extent simultaneously. And that can't happen with the PS4. You kind of have to choose which one to prefer.
PS5, yeah.
Or PS5, I'm sorry. And with the Xbox One S, or sorry, Series S, they've given it the locked. Basically, the only thing that's different is there's a bit less just terabyte power, and it's not 4K.
Yeah.
And you get about half of the storage capacity.
Yeah.
That's the difference. That's wild. Because to have the, you're basically still going to get 1440p, which is better than HD. A lot of people that game on PC only game at 1440p. So you get that 1440p resolution that can upscale to 4K. So you can still plug that into a 4K TV and you're getting a 4K image. But it's not true 4K.
How true is that 4K? Is my question.
It's not true 4K. It's upscaled 1440p, but that looks better than 1440p on right. a 4K TV.
And also it's 120 frames per second.
Yeah.
Which is still
huge. Yeah. So, I mean, it's the idea that, okay, yes, you get less hard drive space. That's fine. It's $200 cheaper. Oh, you don't get true 4K. That's fine. It's $200 cheaper. Like, any problem that you would have with it immediately goes away when you see the price.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely feels like this is the console that's for those people, those moms and those dads are looking for this entry to the next gen.
Yes.
And honestly, I really like the look of it, too.
Do you like it? I don't hate it. It's just
I like
the
it,
black circles.
I think
fine.
I like it better than the...
It feels like it's a very practical, streamlined design. I like that they said, hey, we need this vent. Just make it a vent. Versus I felt like the PS5 was like, shit, we need like some crazy ass vents on this. Let's make it an artistic decision.
Yeah.
And then the artistic decision just feels like, weird.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it felt like they tried to take practicality and make it artistic.
One thing I noticed in like all these images that are coming out is like the Xbox. So we know that the S can lay on its side and vertical.
Yep.
And the big thing is when it's on its side, the Xbox symbol is like correct orientation. Can the Xbox X also?
Yeah, see it has. So actually, today I was seeing
just the symbol
Xbox
be wrong.
Sent a bunch of dummy consoles.
Yeah, I saw that too.
All around, so it's basically the console without the guts. So you can just feel the form factor and see how big it is and stuff right. like that. And yeah, people, there's basically little rubber feet on either side. So it's the same with the One S or the Series S, right? There's rubber feet to let it stand upright or on the side. And that's the same for the X. There's rubber feet on one of the sides.
And that X is fat. It's a fat bitch, man. It's just
it is.
Chunky
yeah,
thing.
And I do agree. A lot of people are saying it looks better upright than it does on its side. And so far from what I've seen, I agree. But I have a black little entertainment center that it's just going to push in there. And all you're really going to see anyway is the light on.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So
that's
I don't
my
care.
Thing. It's like I've looked at that. That's why I'm asking, really, because my entertainment system right now, there's nothing on top because my TV is floating.
Yeah.
And it's like mounted, and I'm like, man, how do I like? Do I leave it up because it's gonna be the only thing up on its side?
No, I'd probably just lay it on its side, like right centered into the TV.
Yeah, I don't know yet. I mean, I don't know yet. But one thing interesting is that, you know, there's some obviously some PS5 news happening too.
Yeah,
there was like a wall mount for the PS5 that leaked and talking about release date.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah, like potentially someone leaked the date of like November 22nd, or something like that.
No, I did see that being a leaked release date for the PS5.
That's right.
November 20th.
Through a
Japanese site of some kind. Yeah.
So, and one thing also today I even saw in the news circuit is like, you know, of course, Sony is now slashing their prices. Like, it wasn't $599, now it's $499.
Well,
to with
but
Xbox.
How do we? The thing is,
we
though,
don't
that's
know.
The expected rumors to come out after
yeah,
this.
That's true.
And,
but there's
and that's
no
what everyone's but, hoping they're doing.
But here's the hard truth. There's no way they can make their discless version cheaper than $399.
No.
So there's no
and
way.
And at that point they're going to be taking such
yeah.
a big loss.
So there's no and
again, their marketing language has been this is the premium experience. You only get this through PS5. They're even trying to make it seem like you get a better experience through this than you ever could with a PC, which is dumb. But that feels like that's how their marketing language is. And I feel like with that, to me, it felt like they were coming hot for a premium priced console. Like
yeah, I mean, I expected $599
for normal, $499 or $550 for the discless.
You think that cheap or that less of a gap?
I think that they know that $100 off or $50 off for the discless isn't probably going to change how many they sell. That's the thing. PlayStation 5 will more than likely, 90% chance, going to outsell everything this winter because of this previous gen they're coming off of, because of big exclusive that they have promised for launch window. Now, I do think that might be more like a 60-40 split, or even like a 55-45 split with Xbox, potentially.
I think it'll be 60-40, 100%.
I think Xbox could potentially have a bigger share of that because you can get one for $299 or $25. You can walk in November and put $25 in their hands, and you've got a next-gen console with a controller and Game Pass. You're done. You don't have to do anything else.
Pay $25 23 more times.
A lot easier for a lot of people that are in lower income brackets than it is to come up with $300 flat for a purchase. Or having bid $500.
Plus the 15 a month you'd have to have for Game Pass Ultimate, and then 10 a month.
And that's the thing, too. If you're going to pay for Game Pass Ultimate, that's $15 a month.
Yeah.
So you only have to pay 10 more to get the console with it.
Yeah.
Like that's brain-breaking when you break it down like that for me. It's like, that doesn't make sense.
Here's the thing that it makes me really sad to think about, but also it's exciting to think about.
Sure.
Is like, okay, I don't think that they went to EA in response to Halo. I think
this was planned all along.
I do, too. Can you imagine what it would have been like?
I know. I have imagined. And it filled me with so much hype and joy to imagine this, everything as is.
Plus Halo Infinite Day 1.
And it's fucking amazing.
Then
I'd be predicting a 60-40 Xbox split.
I would, if you had maybe had, 50-50, but yeah.
No, but if you had said free Halo multiplayer, this is the best. The reviews are basically Return to Glory. And you can have that for $300. And you can only play on Xbox or build your own PC. And but if you can't afford $300, then you can't afford to build your own
PC. And xCloud dropping in 12 other countries, mind you.
Yes. And EA Play access. So you have all these old games.
In 12 games, other Mass countries, mind you. Also,
that's what I'm saying. Like, they
were ready. But
they prepared themselves. This is maybe the best generation launch Xbox has ever had, minus the game.
Yeah.
Minus having, which to be fair, Xbox 360 didn't launch with a Halo. I don't think it launched with Halo 3 either. I think it came like a little while after.
Yeah.
It was planned to launch with it, but it got delayed.
It was the next year, next fall.
Yeah. So I think it was another instance.
I think it had Gears of War 1.
Was that Xbox 360?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's why I bought it.
This is a pretty fucking good game. That's
amazing.
Fair enough.
That's why I bought it.
But all that to say, I mean, as a consumer, I've never felt like, oh man, I can't wait to get the Xbox. I actually feel like it's the better option for me. In the past, like when I bought an Xbox, I've been like, well, maybe, I mean, I might like a lot of those games on PlayStation, but all my games I've already bought, all this time and money I've invested, all my friends that I play with, they're on Xbox, and I don't want to leave that behind.
Yeah.
And so it always felt like, oh, I'm making a concession for quality of system for like my own personal needs. And this time it feels like, no, I'm actually picking what I feel like is the best. I mean, I'm going to get the X. I've already decided I'm going to pre-order the X.
Oh, yeah.
I want the 4K UHD player. I have a 4K TV, and I want to use the full extent of that
100%.
Power. But I actually feel like I'm also getting, if I was just and had no history with the consoles, and I was looking at specs and I was looking at offerings, I'd be like, fuck, man, I like Xbox.
Yeah.
I like the teraflops. I like the 8K possible. I like the Game Pass. Like, I've always wanted Netflix, but for video games. I mean, like, I think everyone had that idea when Netflix came out. Like, oh, this would be great if it was like this, but video games.
Thinking back, I want to say maybe Call of Duty 2 was launched for Xbox 360, and the year after that was Gears of War, and the year after that was Halo 3.
Yeah, Halo 3 felt it was kind of late.
It was like, I think it was 2 years later, 3 years later. I think because
Halo 2 was like end of Xbox One.
I think 2004 was 360 launch. I think 2007 was Halo 3, if I believe. Or am I getting that wrong?
No, 2007 was 360 launch.
Okay. Well, then 2008 must have been.
Or 6. 6 and 7 was PS3 360. Yeah, man, I think PlayStation has to be scrambling. I think they have to be thinking.
I don't think they're scrambling. I think they're still
comfortable. I think they wanted a repeat of 2015, 2013. I think they wanted to have a cheaper box in Xbox. I think that was 100% what they plan on doing, at least their top dollar box. And I think $299 for Xbox Series S, that's amazing, an amazing deal. But we don't need to forget that $4.99
yeah.
for what you get out of the X is an amazing
deal. It's still amazing.
They are taking a giant loss.
Yeah, they are.
If you wanted to build a PC with comparable specs, you're spending $750
yeah.
at least, basically double. I mean, like, the Xbox Series X is a great... They are taking a giant loss. It is a... It's a ridiculously specced out machine. And I think that price... I think that price is what is making Sony the most uncomfortable. I think they knew we were getting the Series S. I think they knew we were getting a kind of bottom tier option for next gen. And they were already kind of at peace with that. I don't think they were... I personally... Just how things have gone, how rumors have floated around... To me, it feels like they were probably planning on a $5.99 price tag for Series X. They were probably planning on that for them too. They were probably thinking we'll both be at $5.99 on the Series X PS5 will be $5.99, and then we'll have the discless version that gets you slightly cheaper than that. Of course, they'll have the $300 box, but we're not competing with that. And to be fair, they're not. I don't know. I think Sony has a difficult marketing challenge in front of them. How do they message their boxes to say, hey,
I don't know.
This is still a great value if it's because at this point it is likely we are potentially walking into a scenario where Xbox has the more powerful box and the cheaper box.
It's possible. I still think Sony is fine. I think
no, let me be clear. Big picture, stockholder wise, sales wise, Sony's gonna sell. Sony always sells.
Yeah, but I'm saying I think at the end of this generation, I still think it's possible that Sony will still come on top.
Oh, I do too.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't think they're worried.
Sony has been around since the 90s. I mean, Sony is one of the godfathers of video games. Let's just be clear. They are a reason that we have a lot of video games. They're never going to have an issue. There are people, there's a lot of people, there's more Sony ponies than there are Xbox like fanboys. You know what I'm saying? Like,
sure.
There's more people that are diehard PlayStation than there are diehard Xbox.
I saw an article come out the other day that says Xbox people are more toxic than PlayStation.
That's interesting. I wonder what their metrics are.
Yeah, I know. I need to
well, I looked at some message boards.
Yeah. I need to
check out your research standards there, sir.
You know, I don't know. I part of me wants to always see the top dog go down just because I want to see that.
The underdog story is always fun.
It's always fun. Yeah. But I mean, at the end of the day, I'm going to own both, sure. Of course. I'm curious what happens again. I think I'm buying an X.
Yeah.
I'm pre-ordering it on the 22nd.
Right.
Because a big thing, honestly, for me is I want to play Gears 5 in 4K.
Yeah.
And I want to play multiplayer in 4K at 120 frames per second.
Yes.
Just because
has Gears 5 been confirmed to have that as an update?
Yes. Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
You can play it 120 frames on the S day one on the Series S.
That's wild that you can pay $300 and play 120 FPS 4K upscaled game.
Yeah.
For $300. Same price as a Switch.
Or for $25.
The Switch barely maintains 1080. It struggles to maintain 1080. It very often dips down to like 940 docked. Yeah. It's only 720 handheld.
Yeah,
that to me is just when you line that up on paper, for $300 you can get this or this. Now, of course, if you're a Zelda Mario guy, the answer is easy. But if you're just a, I would say average consumer, it's like, of course I get the Xbox.
Yeah,
are you kidding me? Of course, it comes with all this other stuff.
I know, and also the thing is for me, even with crossplay, you brought that up the other day in my conversation. I want to get Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War. I think I'm gonna get the Series X version just because I want to play in 4K and
does that come with a free update or are they?
It's a separate buy. Okay. I think the original is 60 and the other one's 70. So I think I'm paying 70. Missed.
So I get the whole of course this is a big thing going into the next generation is these $70 price tags popping up.
If that's
what we need to do for games to support developers, I'm fine with that.
Yeah,
but these giant multi-billion-dollar shareholder owned companies, it's like these guys when they're the ones coming out, oh, we're moving to 70 because game development has changed. It's like, fuck off. Your CEO made $20 billion last year and you barely pay your workers minimum wage. This is not we need to support the developer situation. This is we want more money for our stockholders, and so we're gonna put $10 more on this. Don't even kid yourself that extra $10 is going to anyone that actually puts their hands on making that game.
I think, yes, there's good points there. I think that we have been $60 for a very long time in the game.
Sure.
It makes total sense to go up to 70. I wish that.
But again, the people that are going up to 70 are the most profitable video game companies in the world.
Well, let me finish this. If we're going up to 70, one thing I would like to see if we're going to 70 is maybe a less focus on this monetizing in the back end and also DLC. But I know that. I'm talking about my wish list.
Especially from these. That, and I think, again, that's what bothers me. It's like you've got FIFA who makes literally 20 times what they make in sales through microtransactions. Like it's like quadruple what they make through just through physical sales or digital sales. And it's like, oh yeah, we need $10 extra to support the developers. It's like, no. You guys print money and you give it to all your stockholders and CEOs and you don't give it to anyone.
That's what I'm saying. So I wish they'd put it back into their team. I'm willing
to hear that from smaller developers, even from like a Remedy, right? Remedy games. If they said, hey, we need to bump our new prices to $70, I actually believe them. For one, they're not AAA, but they're not AAA in the sense they're not publicly owned.
Right.
They're not answering to stockholders. Yes, I understand that. I'm not giving an extra $10 to fucking Activision or fucking Electronic Arts. Those guys can just go fuck off to nowhere. 2K, you too. Well, none of you guys deserve a dime.
See, I want to play extra. And I want to play it as the best version I can. So
I'll just wait on this discount.
I'll probably give it to them, but. I think part of it to me is I want to play a new game on my new console at 4K. Yeah. I think it's for me because I.
But for me, Valhalla comes out day one. You know that? They moved Assassin's Creed Valhalla day up, so it's day one and with Xbox?
Yeah.
That's it, right?
That's cool, but like I'm not an Assassin's Creed guy. So to me, I'm like, I can get behind Call of Duty because I can play
this
the campaign.
This one's super God of War-y, though. It's all Norse-y.
I know, but we've had this conversation. For me, Assassin's Creed is like, I want to be in the lore more. Yeah. And Call of Duty, I can kind of drop in and out. And they're all different stories for the most part.
Well, to me, it's Assassin's Creed and Cyberpunk are going to be my benchmark.
Yeah, testers. we don't have a release for Cyberpunk, the optimized version. We don't.
Oh, no, but I don't. I think the difference that you're going to see just running the normal version on an X versus like an original Xbox or a One S, I think it's going to be like load times or like nothing on the Series X and stuff like that.
One cool thing that was also announced, speaking of them, was... Witcher 3 is optimized for the next gen.
Yeah, for free.
And it's free. If you
own CD Projekt Red or some fucking OGs.
Yeah. They're like, hey, it's free. Like we've always
said. And they're not charging extra for their Cyberpunk update either.
Yeah, no. They're awesome.
That's
the thing.
I would give if CD Projekt Red came out and said, you know what? This has taken a lot more money, even though they are publicly owned. They're honest enough and they've shown enough integrity just through their gaming practices, and they're always putting the consumer first with their offerings. I mean, the DLC for The Witcher was stupid. I mean, the amount of content you got for the price.
Oh yeah.
And again, things like this, like giving free
being
updates.
Zero, yeah. DLC for Witcher 3 is zero. Like price wise.
No, you pay for it when it came out.
I don't think so.
Yeah, it was a free DLC.
I think so. I'm pretty sure it's free. I would bet you $100 right now. You want to take the deal real quick? I like to make a quick hundred. A quick hundred.
I'm not gonna bet money, no.
Pretty sure.
Let's see.
As he waits, when he figures out that, and I could be wrong. Another cool thing on the gaming side, of course, is Nintendo had a Nintendo Direct come out, and I obviously pre-ordered the Super Mario 3D All-Stars for the Switch because it has 64, Sunshine, and Galaxy on there. It's already selling out on Amazon because there's a stupid, we only produce it until March. It's like this limited thing, which is really just we're doing this to kind of bump up our quarterly sales, which is very bad. Very bad on you, Nintendo. It's amazing how much I love Nintendo. And then also at the same time, I'm like, man, Nintendo, you do so many things that's like, not consumer friendly, but we keep giving them money because they keep making amazing games. And another thing, speaking to just the All-Stars, Sunshine, they're supposed to be like slightly, I think, not graphically improved, but like almost like you're kind of getting slightly upscaled, but there's nothing else. And that's it. Like we're just getting those games. There's no like cool set of achievements like you could do for unlocking maybe, you know, like achievements. Like they could have integrated that. We could have had like, hey, you know, 100, you know, achievements for,
right,
for, you know, 64, for Sunshine, for Galaxy. And it had more, even more replayability. Granted, the caveat there again is I bought it anyway. I'm going to play them anyway so that they know that they can do the bare minimum and get away with it. So it's a little sad about that. But cool thing, they have to celebrate the 35th anniversary, Super Mario Brothers 35, which is like this massive multiplayer like strategy where you're playing. the original Mario Brothers against each other. You can send like shells and Goombas to each other's stages as you're fighting, which I think is very exciting. Also has a limited time window on it. We have Super Mario 3D World that was originally on the Wii U.
Right.
And now it's coming to the Switch, which is an amazing game. I end up playing it, and it has some even extra DLC we didn't get the first time, like Bowser's something. I can't remember what it's called. But it's like this cool little, we don't really know what it is. It looks like a Bowser-centric kind of DLC. And that's a great party game.
No, yeah. Hearts of Stone and Blood and Wine. Sorry, going back to Witcher. Took me far too long to find this information. Stupid Google. Hearts of Stone was $9.99 and Blood and Wine were $19.99 on initial release. Now, they did release a bunch of other DLC that was free. And it was all like beard styles, hairstyles, clothing options. Now, to be fair, the stuff they released for free is the stuff people usually charge for, which is cosmetics.
I thought there was something that said that when you got the game, you open it up and it says, hey, everything we make DLC-wise will be free going forward. I think that's the thing.
They did that except for the big story packs.
Gotcha.
Okay. The big story expansions where you got to a new map and you met...
And to be fair, those are like 7 hours.
Those are the ones... Yeah. One of them's 40.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's crazy. That's fine.
And so those... That's fine. Being, I have no problem with you charging for those. Sorry, going back to your Nintendo.
Yeah. Thing. Anyway, and there's also the Mario Kart. Like you actually have a car and you drive around.
Yeah,
and
you can drive. What do you do if you have carpet?
That's exactly what I thought too. And like, I don't have much tile or I don't have much vinyl in my kitchen, so it's, you know.
I'm gonna make a tiny track. You just go in a circle.
I guess so.
This would be like the NASCAR.
I just what about dogs and animals and cats? I just see a mess there happening.
I don't know.
I don't either. But so that's Nintendo Direct coming out. I pre-ordered it already, of course.
Of course, yeah.
Just because I want to play. I wish Galaxy 2 was in there. I wish we had our achievements.
The complaints are, why didn't they upscale any of it? It's just literally ports.
I know,
that seems like, again, it's like...
just Nintendo, man.
It's just them half-assing it because they know they can and they know people will buy it, and then putting those stupid arbitrary end dates on when you can purchase it.
It's wild.
It's a little bit like, you're right, it is like Nintendo getting away with things that no one else can because they make Mario and Zelda.
Yeah.
That's why they can do these things. Yes, it is. Because, Animal Crossing is one of the most popular games of the year.
Animal Crossing has fucking... you can't get a Switch.
No, hardly. You can't. It's wild. I mean, I see posts all day, hey, Switch is here, there. Now they're gone.
Yeah.
You know, it's...
They have, if any company of the three has benefited from the pandemic, it's probably been Nintendo.
Oh, easily. They all benefited, but
they haven't had to release anything.
It was just the perfect convergence. They had the perfect sit on your couch and mindlessly play something all day game in March when the pandemic was hitting its height.
Yeah.
And it was also like this nice like island escape.
I bought it for Katie's
for reasons that were not under their control, and they had no intention of like
100%. Yeah,
it probably, I would say, at least increased by 30%.
I don't know. Maybe it was logistics. I just don't know why they waited so long to do this. This anniversary this fall.
I mean, there was a lot of reports that it was supposed to happen at E3, that we were supposed to get all of this in May.
Yeah, but I feel like they've been riding the coattails of Animal Crossing, I guess, to give them a huge 2021 year, I guess. Yeah. I don't know why they're like, hey, we can hold on and make more money next year.
Well, now the big rumors are that we're getting a new Switch next year.
Yeah, Breath of the Wild 2.
There's even a rumor saying that that Nintendo's been asking their developers to prepare their games for 4K.
Yep, so that.
Which I'm still, it's like, I'm going to be very surprised if a Switch comes out that can handle 4K. Unless it's like twice as big.
Maybe it's possible.
It's not going to be 4K handheld. It's going to be probably a 1080p locked handheld. And then maybe 4K possible on some games. And I bet it'll be upscaled. It won't be true 4K.
Probably.
That's my guess.
Anyway, just, you know, it's interesting. Now all eyes are on Sony. Nintendo's kind of played their hand for the rest of the year. Sony, and there may be some more around. I doubt Nintendo's doing too much more the rest of the year.
No, not
they're,
much.
They're probably focusing on this now. And
they gave us that stupid Hyrule game.
Yeah, that's true. So they have that. Xbox is just now opening up the cards a little bit. Maybe, do you think... question before Sony, do you think they have any more surprises for us before launch?
No, not at all. No, they've given us everything. I mean, like, they've lined out their holiday offering. It's going to be Mario, Animal Crossing.
No new exclusives, no nothing. You think
not this year, no. Thanks. No, they would have already announced it.
I'm wondering.
I don't think anyway we're getting anything else of significance. We'll have some indie directs, maybe like one small surprise, like another like, you know, JRPG game
that
20 people care about or something. I don't know. But No, we're not getting Zelda 2. We're not getting anything that people really want from Nintendo until next year.
What about Sony? Do you think Sony, other than price and release date, do you think we're getting anything else from them?
No, I think Sony is probably...
Hold on to Spider-Man.
I think they are up against the wall to get Spider-Man ready for launch and to get Ratchet & Clank out for release window. I think there's a chance both of those could get delayed.
Which I assume is by by March, basically.
Who knows? There's no definition for that. That could be within the year.
Yeah.
And Sony can just be like, well, it's what we meant. You didn't know, but that's what we meant.
True. Do you think Spider-Man could be delayed?
Yeah, easily.
If Spider-Man got delayed, then that means Xbox clearly is the choice to buy this fall, if it got delayed.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's less likely. I think Ratchet & Clank will almost certainly get delayed, even if it's not public. Even if it's, oh yeah, we want to get this out in March and it doesn't come out until November, but we don't even hear about that.
Gotcha.
But I still do think there's potentially a chance. We don't have a release date for Miles Morales. Have they said it's coming out on release date of PS5?
I'm pretty sure.
I don't know if I've heard that.
Yeah.
They just said it's a release game.
Yeah. It may be like a month or so later. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah.
I think the big thing for me is I would be so much more inclined to buy a PlayStation 5 if it was backwards compatible day one with like...
Exactly.
If they said, hey, Last of Us 2 is backwards compatible, I haven't played it yet. I'd be like, okay, PS5. I'll fucking play on PS5.
Yep.
But now I'm like...
Yeah, no,
I can't play any of those games on PS4 or PS5 right now.
Which feels archaic now. I mean, like...
I know.
It feels like selfish of me to expect it, but now it's like in a world... Where everyone's inundated with these devices and these devices. And when you get a new iPhone, all your old apps don't stop working because that would be fucking stupid. Yeah. And no one would do that because no one would want the iPhone. And so, yeah, it just in this world of technology we're inundated with, we know that it's just a faster version of the last thing we had.
Yeah,
we know you can't trick us anymore, Sony. Oh, it's new technology. You don't know how this works. It's like, no, it's the same thing. Just let us play our old shit on it. So, I think it'll be an interesting launch window. I feel like even if Sony gives us the prices we're expecting, and I still feel like I don't quite know what's exactly going to happen.
I don't either.
I could see it. Swaying either way, potentially.
What if they package the PlayStation 5 with Spider-Man Miles Morales?
They probably need to.
With no extra cost.
They probably need to. Well, they won't do that.
That's what I'm saying. With no extra cost.
I don't see them. Well, they will if it's only an 8-hour game. And it doesn't. And they think it wouldn't. People would get pissed if it was 60.
I'm still holding out for the hope that it's packaged with the original Spider-Man game.
I think it would be silly to not do it that way.
I don't, for some reason.
Or you maybe, hey, you'll get this for free when it's ready later.
Maybe, yeah. See, that's the thing. I just don't know. I'm very curious. Because like right now, like there's not that many games to play like that are PS5 games.
No.
Other than five
or six games to play when it comes out.
Other than like Assassin's, like the big, like the stuff.
And
you
again,
know?
Like I mentioned this a couple weeks ago, that's the typical launch pattern.
It is.
Now, no longer with Xbox has broken that mold.
Yeah.
Now, Xbox is saying, no, you'll have literally every game that's on Game Pass. Any game that's ever worked on Xbox still works. I mean, you can put your own Xbox CDs in there, you know, from the...
Can I put my Halo disc into my Series X and play?
Now, what it'll do is it'll download...
Gotcha.
It's the same way it does with everything.
That's right.
But yes, you can put your disc in there and have access to that game. You don't have to buy digitally to have access to old games. You can just buy go to Game Exchange, buy some old discs. You got
them. I'm gonna buy Xbox just to support Xbox.
They're the best, man.
Even though they're
the most consumer friendly.
Even though they have their parent company, or even though overall they have the prime more money than Sony. But not probably they have.
I don't know. Do you think Microsoft's richer than Sony?
Yeah, I do. Let's look it up.
I mean, Sony has movie studios.
Yeah, but Microsoft doesn't. But that's kind of not that great for them. Microsoft. This will be our last thing we do before we break out.
That's right. We're figuring this out on air.
Right there. Worth versus Sony. Microsoft is bigger than Sony. As of October 2012, Microsoft, $243 billion, and Sony's market cap is $11.5 billion.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, they're a lot bigger.
Yeah.
So holy they're, shit.
Yeah.
Microsoft's like
I had a feeling.
300 times the size of Sony.
I had a feeling. It's Damn. Microsoft. I mean, PC, man. I mean,
but Sony's been around forever too. That's where I like.
But they just
have TVs. I mean, Sony does TVs and video cameras and cinema cameras and little small picture.
But they do. But those are all things that like honestly not niche people, but people either A, you have money to buy a new TV, or B, you're into photography stuff. PC is like something almost like now everybody has to have
corporately, especially.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
Yeah. So anyway, it's interesting, but
yeah,
I'm excited. Yeah. I mean,
it's about time Microsoft start using that part of their advantage. Hey, yeah. We can take a bigger loss on these consoles.
Exactly.
We can afford it.
That's exactly.
That's what you need to do then.
GameStop. Thanks, Phil. How are you going to pre-order it? Through GameStop, Best Buy? What are you doing?
It depends. I need to see what the options are. If I have if Prime, here's my concerns. All right. My concerns are price. Do I get any kind of discounts or potentially with GameStop? Can I trade in my old one to get towards my new one? If that's true, I might consider that.
It's seven. You get like $70 from your old one if you have the original. You get $70.
Only 70. But you already announced that?
I looked up online today.
Yeah, but no, but they usually do promotions.
Sure.
Usually it's like, hey, right now, if you bring this to buy that, you get this much more money. Yeah. That's very common.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised they do $100 or $150 if you bring it in to buy the next Xbox.
Yes, that's the thing. Like I'm too afraid to go physically in person. Like I feel like I want to be there on my computer.
That's my thing too. I want to make sure it's at my door the first day it can be at my door.
I'm gonna go pick it up. Yeah, that's my thing.
Yeah. So I'm gonna look about where I need to do it. I haven't decided yet. Whatever place I feel like I'm gonna have the most secure, like I'm definitely going to have it on launch day. I definitely want to make sure it's going to be there and I can get mine and it's not lost in an order or whatever. But then also just, you know, what are the advantages?
Yeah. I mean, like right now I have like a $50 gift card from Best Buy from buying my TV and everything else. Yeah. And I have like $55, whatever, like that. And they'll give me $24 for my Xbox One.
Ugh.
$24.
That's such an insult.
That's without the controller. I want to keep my controllers. That's without the controllers.
Yeah, oh, that's true. Yeah, no reason to. Honestly, I'm probably just going to keep mine. Put it in my back.
That's what I'm thinking, maybe. I might give it to Matt or something on so he can play Gears 5 with.
He doesn't deserve it, that Sony pony.
I gave him my 360. I might get my Xbox One next. So, so he has one to play with. But then I'm like, well, that's $70. But then GameStop will give me $70 for the console. And I can just keep my 50 for. Yeah, so I'm like, I don't know.
But I think GameStop will want the controller.
Probably. But the only thing is, my analog, MJ, ate the analog. So, yeah. So I'm like, I'm not sure they'd want that. You know?
No, they wouldn't.
So that's my only issue there. But anyway, I don't know. I've thought about it. I'm like, I wonder how it's all going to pan out money wise.
It feels like Christmas, though.
It does.
It's like extra Christmassy.
I got to start planning like money. Even though I knew it was going to be like $500, like I feel like I.
Yeah,
wasn't planning, but now I'm planning.
Well, I'm hoping I can put down like a good chunk on it when I pre-order it, so that I can kind of split that into two.
I'll probably PayPal it, like PayPal credit, like probably pay $300 on it, and then like pay the rest off the next month or something.
Yeah,
you know, something like split it up like that. But here's another question. Last question: do you think we'll get one? Do you think we won't?
Oh yeah,
do you think they'll sell out before we can get a hold of one?
Xbox
One sold out. Keep that in mind at launch.
Yeah, so. But if you pre-order it on the day it launched, you probably got one.
That's what I'm saying. What if it crashes? What if there's not that many units?
Well, it crashes for everyone. I mean, if it crashes on Xbox.com, I go to BestBuy.com. If it crashes on BestBuy.com, I go to Amazon.com. I'm a man.
Well, here's the scenario.
You probably pre-order through Walmart and Target.
What if you don't get one day one?
I'm gonna be mad, but I'll live, I guess. But I'm gonna get one. I'm gonna be waiting. I'm gonna be one of those people at the countdown.
I'm gonna take off work.
I mean, we'll just figure out whatever day, whatever minute it goes live. I'll be ready. And I'll probably have like Walmart open and GameStop open and Amazon open and Best Buy open and just be ready to pre-order from any of them.
It's on a Tuesday. Time. I'm going to take off work on that Tuesday and I'm going to go get an Xbox One X and then I'm going to play.
Why can't you just do it online? Oh, you're talking about the release date.
The release date. Yes. When is Call of Duty? We don't know when Cold War comes out, do we?
I don't remember.
Surely before then.
I don't remember. I think it's October.
Okay. Cool. Anyway. How can our listeners write into us, Daniel?
They can write into bit.ly/241mail. There you can tell us what new console you're going to get, if you think the PlayStation's better or the Xbox is better. What do you think? What do you think people are going to choose this holiday? Let us know. bit.ly/241mail.
Awesome. And of course, for more podcast information, go to podcast241.com. And there you can go to all the podcast services that you can think of.
Quite.
And of course, go to our YouTube channel and subscribe. Leave a comment below if you don't want to go to our Bitly. YouTube's the best place to watch the content because we have other content besides the podcast itself.
True.
And of course, this was all about games this time. And don't forget, we talk about movies. We talk about all kinds of things. And we did previously some baby casts on some movie reviews like Tenet. And, you know, Bill and Ted Face the Music is next week. And of course, New Mutants. Yep. Exactly. So we're still dipping our toes in everything, and we'll have more content coming out in the future. Yeah, Daniel, we did it. And hopefully we'll have a Mulan review up for you pretty soon.
Sure.
And yeah. Of course, there's even Mandalorian news, like October. We have a release date.
We got some photos today.
Yeah.
Some promotional photos.
Exactly. So we're almost a year anniversary of us starting this podcast.
I know. It'll be kind of bitter. It'll be very, very, very
melancholy. Melancholy?
No, not melancholy. It'll be sweet to like do the first review of the first episode of Mandalorian season 2, because it'll be like the official anniversary of the podcast.
Yeah, it'd be great. Anyway, my name is Donovan Thompson.
I am Daniel Wingfield.
And as always, we have spoken.